Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Buick GMC Studios, Moores has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Alex Dono Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
As we continue reaction here on WQAM to the Hurricanes' loss to the Pittsburgh Panthers, 24-14 today up at Pitt. It was the noon game. It was the day after Thanksgiving. It was the trap. It was the look-ahead spot. It was the letdown that everyone had anticipated. And it is, it's difficult, man. I'm a UM grad. Went to the school. I was there for mostly crud football. Was there for 7-5s and 6-6s and 1-9-4. But for the most part, you didn't have ultra-meaningful games. And that's why, although the Clemson game remains meaningful, and I don't want UM fans to lose their sense of energy, their sense of enthusiasm, or think that this result has any bearing on who this UM team is, right? Because although there were warning signs throughout the season that this could happen, today was a doomsday scenario for the Hurricanes. It was not, I don't think this is indicative either. This is, maybe you can say the Notre Dame victory isn't indicative of who this team is and that this is more like who they are. I don't think this is who. So the Notre Dame game is everything going right. Today is everything going wrong. And the UM, the University of Miami Hurricanes are somewhere in between. And so we'll see where on that spectrum they perform against Clemson. But I don't think today gives you any sense that they get killed by better teams because Notre Dame is still a top 10 team and was very good up until the point that they lost to Miami. You can't say that Miami's going to get their head caved in by teams in the playoff. I think that today was an isolated result in a difficult game that Pittsburgh played really well in, and you can give them credit because it's 2 weeks in a row. Last week it was Virginia Tech on the road. They had four plays from the 1 yard line of Virginia Tech to win the game on the road, and if they win that game, they're 5-5 today, or 5-6. Today's win would have made them bowl eligible. You lost to a bowl eligible team, and who's significantly improved from the start of the season. This is a team that lost most of their major contributors from last season, including their quarterback, Nathan Peterman, whose head got caved in by Buffalo. But this is a team that is in a huge state of flux before Pat Narduzzi took over because they had like four coaches in 4 years. The program was all over the place. And now Narduzzi's kind of bringing it to stability, but it was going to take a second this season because they lost all their important contributors. And now you think you see a team that's pretty sound. Both sides of the ball, they're sound. I thought they were really well coached today and had a perfect plan to stop Miami. So I don't think today is necessarily an indication that Miami against better teams is going to get their heads caved in. The one thing that I would be concerned about is Miami on the road. Because Florida State, they weren't a good team. They're still not a good team. They're not going to make, or they have a chance to make a bowl game, albeit an outside one, right? You just look up and down the away games. So it's at Duke, which was close for a little bit, but they pulled away. It was really their best performance, I'd say, on the road. And then North Carolina, and then today. But five of their last six before today were at home, so you haven't really seen them on the road a great deal. That would be of concern. All right. Obviously, your reaction is our primary focus on this program for the next 2 hours. We have a full board of calls right now. Let's go ahead and get to some of them. If you want to sort of be next in line, 954-567-0560 or 305-567-0560. We'll start with Ross, who is in New Jersey, and he's on 560 WQAM.
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call, man.
No problem. Go on.
Hey, I called earlier, called the first show, and I got murdered that I'm a front runner. Guys don't know who's front runners or not. I'm a diehard Canes fan for the longest time, forever. I made a point that the league next year, not this year, next year, it should be an open competition. The kid, the guy that we've been hoping play better every other week, every other throw, is not consistent today. And that's the point I made. And people got on there, called me an idiot and everything. So I'm listening to you, and you're taking the points from different callers, and you're using some common sense of what's going on. You know, all year we've been trying to figure out why is he so inconsistent. Today it was blatant. The announcers was even saying it. The guys are wide open. He's running into guys. He was just inconsistent today. And that's something we cannot afford to keep showing our recruits, because guys want to come in and play with accurate quarterback, decent quarterback, more than decent quarterback. If we are the U, we're going to recruit towards stuff like that. We can't afford to have situations where we have guys are wide open. They're not being, not being hit right in the hand so they could take it to the house.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you. I think open competition, because it was supposed to be this year, and if Nkosi Perry is that much further along, or they're bringing another quarterback in this recruiting cycle and they like him better, then I think Mark Richt is well within his rights to game-to-game, season-to-season, analyze his position. Malik Rozier, I don't think, has done enough to earn a stranglehold on the position where he's entitled to it. I don't think so. Just based off, again, quality of performance. And that's why I remember after the UNC game, I was on with Hawk on the Monday after, and he was getting on me, oh, a win is a win, and they'll summon the performances when they need it. This is why we pick apart quality of performance. That, to me, is the number one indicator of longer-term success. Did you turn in a quality performance? And too many times this year... Now, the thing today... Today's Malik Rozier performance was not inconsistent, because inconsistent sort of, to me, signifies sort of the emotional roller coaster of he's sometimes good, sometimes bad, sometimes good, sometimes bad. Today was just all bad. Let's call a spade a spade. He was not good today, and very infrequently delivered throws. They had one long sustained drive that resulted in a touchdown. The other nine possessions resulted in punts. Not good ones at that. And so, if you want to pick apart his performance, if you want to say throughout the course of the year, this had been coming, and he summoned drives at the most important moments, down 14 against Virginia, final drive against Georgia Tech, final drive against Florida State. Yeah, he did. And that's why he's still starting. That's why Miami is 10-0, and why he deserves an amount of praise for this season, because he's exceeded expectations. A team with Malik Rozier at quarterback, this is shocking that Miami's in this position. But you can pick it apart. And today certainly was deserving of that. Mike is on QAM. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Chris.
How you doing?
All right. Listen, so I was all right with the benching. I just thought it came at the wrong time. I thought maybe a little earlier would have been better. But my thing is, everybody could see Malik was off today. I mean, he's usually up and down, but today he was just completely off.
But the thing is that, Mike, we've seen this before this season, where it's a whole half of Malik Rozier looking like this. Florida State is a perfect example. And then I think the reason why people were most upset about the benching is that we kind of expect that at some point the tide is going to turn, where he's going to start playing
right.
Well, and it just never came.
Right.
I think, yeah, you're advocating for an earlier benching, but we've even seen him go late in the third without looking good in a game and then summon it in the fourth quarter. And I think that's what Richt is probably waiting for, is, all right, fourth quarter, Rozier, let's see what you got, and it was nothing.
Right, I agree. And but he also, it seems like there's no, he got us out of a few games because he's kept his cool, and he seems like he's always cool under pressure. But at the same time, there's just like no sense of urgency,
And that's the fine line of the intangible. And I appreciate the call, Mike. The fine line of the intangible is that it's poise, right? When you look unfazed by the situation, and then it's, well, come on, I need to see some urgency when you're losing. Like, I think people just immediately default to certain bits of analysis when things aren't going well. When an offense isn't working, immediately it's play calling. What's going on with the play calling? The play calling, like today's play calling was fine for me. More than fine. If you're consistently producing an offense that has receivers open, you've done your job. That is job done for a play caller. That's what Mark Richt was doing today. Again and again, Richards and Thomas and Berrios open in the secondary. All Malik Rozier has to do is make a throw, and he didn't. So I think that play calling was fine. A lot of the things in the game. The defense was fine for the most part. I thought they gave up too many yards, didn't get off the field quickly enough. But if you have the opportunity to punt the ball 10 times, despite giving up 24, that means that Miami's defense on the field 10, 11 times got the job done for the most part. If you're getting off the field majority of the possessions, you should win the game. And Miami's offense should have risen to the occasion. And they didn't. For 55 minutes, they didn't. And yeah, Rozier found a wide open Berrios, but wide open was the theme of the day. There were receivers open all day, and Rozier didn't make the throw. And finally, Berrios was much more open than, he was 10 yards open, right? Compared to, the receivers early in the day. The receivers early in the day required a good throw, but they're open. All right, let's go to John, who is on QAM. Go ahead, John. Who's in Miami, I should say.
Hey, how you doing?
Go ahead.
All right. I think it's a little unfair that we're saying that Malik hasn't played great or anything like that at all season. I think he's played wonderful. I think he's had a really good season, a lot better than most people anticipated. I think a lot has to be attributed to Pitt's front seven. Believe it or not, our offensive line got our ASS handed to us. So, I'm gonna go there too. I mean, I think also a lot of it, just pass blocking, and we couldn't get anything on the run either.
Yeah, no, and offensive line play has been something that really hasn't been a strength of Miami, I'd say, for 5 years now.
I definitely agree. I mean, during Shannon, it was a problem. During Golden, it was a problem. So, I mean, I think that's also something that we need to look forward to in the future as well, make sure we get those blue-chip O-linemen,
Yeah, and right, blue-chip O-linemen, and to me, the coaching. And Stacey Cereals is the offensive offensive line coach for Miami, and I don't know a ton about him or his sort of regiment, but like my most hot takey thing is that for me is the position on the coaching staff that there's some questions to be asked, because it's a lot of the same guys, it's a lot of players with a lot of games. You've seen a whole heck of a lot of Casey McDermott, of Taylor Gautier, of a lot of guys in those offensive line, and maybe it is a recruiting problem, and they need to get better players in, but. I mean, I don't understand how year in, year out, that offensive line just can't move anybody. And it was from the opening game. Mark Walton's performances this year were Mark Walton. They were not the offensive line. When Mark Walton was healthy and he was going, it was all him. It was all him making something out of nothing. And Travis Homer is not as good at that, which is fine because it's what makes Mark Walton an NFL talent. And Travis Homer might eventually get there. And I, to be honest with you, knew nothing about Homer before he started playing in for Walton. And people were concerned about the running back situation when Walton got hurt because we didn't know a lot of what the backups can do. But Homer has been a more than serviceable replacement. And some of it is just down to the blocking, man. The blocking has not been good enough. I'm totally with John there. The other John we have, by the way, if you want to get in, 954-567-0560 or 305-567-0560, continuing reaction to the Miami Hurricanes taking on the Pittsburgh Panthers and losing, falling to 10-1 on the season. The other John on hold is in Kendall, and he's on QAM.
Chris, first of all, I'm blind, and so the picture that I see is the paint that's painted by Joe and Don, which is awesome. They do an incredible job. And, one thing I didn't hear mentioned today is that, Richard's short arm, two balls that he didn't go after. And another thing is that I thought that he should have put DJ Dallas in there at least a couple of times to see if the energy would have been a little different. I think he has a few more moves even than Homer does. I don't know if he has the speed. Just to change the energy. And about Malik, he's one thing you can say about him is that he does, I think he has guts, but listen, I think those guys were so wide open. I think if they put bells on their ankles, I would have hit them. I mean, it's like, I was so disappointed today. I mean, I'm like, let's don't take anything away from Pitt. I think their coaching was awesome, but I think that, as a matter of fact, I think he should have benched him. I think he should have brought the other quarterback in at the beginning of the third period, because if that didn't work out, then Malik would have come back and did what he did in the last 5 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, there's a potential for that, and I appreciate the call, John. To do it earlier, I think that's where Rozier has earned enough, right? To me, it's possession 11. You've punted 9 times, and you just want to say, all right, let's try something else, right? Rozier has open guys. I didn't see what you heard or saw, Sir John, with Richards, you know, short arming balls or not being aggressive enough. I didn't see that. When throws were missed in his direction, I thought it was because of poor throws more than anything. I just think that the entire offensive struggles are down to run blocking, offensive line. But in some respects, it's because of what Pittsburgh's strategy was. Pittsburgh's strategy was, we're going to load up the box, we're going to stop the run and make this difficult. That was their strategy. And it was an effective one. It ended up totally stifling what Miami was trying to do on offense. So Pittsburgh's plan was to stop the run game and make Rozier beat them. Not just the run game, but the run game within the throwing game. Because how many times have we seen Rozier, his most game-breaking plays have been on the ground, and there were no lanes available. The pass rush was doing a good job of kind of being everywhere. There were spies in behind the defensive line, and it was down to one-on-one coverage on the outside. And that's perfect for Miami. That's such a good situation for Miami. One-on-one coverage on the outside is what you want if you're a Canes fan. It's what these athletes are begging for. Please put Pitt's DBs on me one-on-one. I want to go and beat them. And they did, again and again. And that's why Pitt gives up a ton of yards, is that I don't think they have the athletes in the secondary to do that, but Pat Narduzzi trusts his system. He does it more than anybody else in terms of playing one-on-one on the outside. And try getting after the quarterback is the most important priority. They did that today. And so, for me, when you have that situation, it's all down to the quarterback to deliver the throws. And he just didn't do it today. And that's why, to me, he deserved a benching. I don't think I would have done it, just because we had seen Evan Sheriffs, and I think we can pretty clearly say now that Evan Sheriffs is never going to play for this program again, unless Rozier gets hurt. And I think it's probably too late on in the year. I mean, unless you're in the playoff semifinal or even the national championship game, if you get all the way there, or maybe you think about putting in Perry for an injured Rozier because the game matters too much to be concerned about red shirts. But I don't think Evan Sheriffs has done enough to warrant playing again for this program. All right, let's go to Damian. Damian is on QAM. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You know, in life, everything is talent. You either born with it or you can't teach talent. And whole season, this defense has masked a lot of this quarterback's play. And this is not the first game we've seen the roller coaster. We've seen them all season, but the defense has done such a phenomenal job getting the ball back to Rozier in the offense. And, yes, he has. That's the intangible. The positive thing is, yes, with his lack of throwing ability, he has performing clutch. He has mobility, which is a plus. But at the end of the day, when they're stopping you from running, you got to throw the ball because quarterbacks throw. Running backs run. And the guy is just average. And I think today it came out. The dog came to light because the defense been on that field, man, they look like they never left the field today. And he comes off the field, there's no kind of, you know, some quarterbacks are very animated and some are not. He has the Jay Cutler nonchalant approach. And today you saw it, the defense could only do so much. Man, they got 2 turnovers inside the 50-yard line. What happened? Miami had to punt. And you know what? He went being the creatures of habit, man. You're so accustomed to coming back. You came out there today saying, you know what? We can do it again. We're talented, and this is where it bit you this time. Because at the end of the day, you lost. Yes, they're 10-1, but I think the quarterback plays suspect. That's why he came in as a 3-star recruit and not a 4 or 5-star recruit, because it all has to do with talent at the end of the day. The defense can only do so much.
I'm totally with you. I'm totally with you, sir. I think the defense, you judge it on the first half performance because they were on the field so much. I thought they were a 7 out of 10 today. Did the job, got a couple turnovers. And like you said, gave Miami the field position that they would have wanted. You would have wanted Miami to be on the plus side of the field. You would have wanted Miami to carry on as having, you know, great field position and having the opportunity to go and give themselves a chance to score. That's a perfect opportunity for the Hurricanes to get the ball in on the plus side of the field. Turnovers, job done. Like, if you get 0 points off turnovers, didn't that happen last week too? First half, they got turnovers and they didn't score off of them. They needed to literally catch the ball and run it into the end zone, which, by the way, you talk about back-breaking plays, symbolic plays. The throw on the third down where Bandy has a chance to pick it off, and it goes through his hands, and Pitt ends up scoring, you know, 4 minutes later to just kill the game. If he even just bats the ball down, you get the ball back 6:30 to go, and maybe you can score quickly enough and then use your timeouts later. But it ended up in Miami using their timeouts. It ended up in them in Pittsburgh scoring. That was just a backbreaker. But I, to be honest with you, I hadn't brought up the turnovers in the first hour and 20. I'm glad Damian did, because the turnovers were good enough for Miami to go and score, to get an early lead. What was the Will Manso pointed this out, where they were up 7-3 Miami. They get a turnover, and then the throw to Berrios, where Berrios is open by 10 yards. No one in the neighborhood. He could score from there. Miami could go on to score from there, maybe go up 14-3 or 10-3 at that point. Game looks entirely different. Like, it's one throw. And then you compound that with multiple throws after that down the field. It was all about the inaccurate passes today. For me, if you're boiling down the loss to one thing, it was the inaccurate passes. And that's why Mark Richt made the decision to bench him. All right, if you want to get in, continue reaction to this game, 954-567-0560 or 305-567-0560. That's 567-0560. Dade or Broward will continue to take your calls. If you want to tweet me your thoughts, at Chris Whittingham, if you punch in Chris Whitty, it should come up. Again, 567-0560. Chris Whittingham in for Alex Dano on QIM. Alex Dono, my name is Chris Whittingham here on 560 WQAM. Talking Miami Hurricanes football in the aftermath of their loss to the Pitt Panthers. Crushing, absolutely crushing. I'm a UM grad, and it was very difficult to watch today. I was kind of in one of those, you know, big three heat loss kind of modes where, you know, they lose the finals and it's like, oh man, this is absolutely destroying. And it's just like the kind of game that you talk yourself into being scared of. And I talk myself into being scared of all these other teams that Miami has played over the course of the year, and all the 500 teams, all the Georgia Techs and the Dukes and the North Carolina. Oh man, hopefully Miami doesn't blow it then. And I developed some confidence, and it's like, man, college football, there's no such thing as having confidence. There's no such thing as, you know, you're going to win a game. And man, It's just a bummer. All right, so earlier today, Mark Richt spoke following the loss to Pitt. Let's go in and hear his thoughts, and sort of we'll launch some conversations off of it and what he had to say, and obviously his thoughts on benching the quarterback and the loss and all that. Here's Mark Richt from earlier today.
Okay, Coach, after going 15 in a row, you come into Pittsburgh, and you told everybody all week this is a tough place to play against a tough team, and Miami came up short.
Right. You know, first of all, give Coach Narduzzi and his staff credit and his team. You know, they lined up and played good ball and whipped us. You know, they did what they had to do to win, and you got to give them credit. You know, we're all very disappointed. Obviously, we're not hand walking in that locker room for over a year and had to talk about, you know, how we're going to handle a loss. We just been winning so much. It's become commonplace, and now we lost one, and we got to, you know, continue to be the team we say we are and stick together and fight together and get prepared for a chance at an ACC conference championship.
Coach, the run game, you look at it today, only 45 yards in that category, and that's something that I know that you're not satisfied with.
No, we're not. I mean, we, you know, when I call runs, I'm hoping to get a little bit of encouragement to keep doing it. Wasn't a lot of that going on. And then, you know, we had some play passes where we had people open, just like we thought we would. And then we just don't hit our target at times. Or maybe we drop a ball that's catchable but not just perfect. You know, when you throw and catch, it's about pass protection first. It starts with the lineman, but back's got to protect. Sometimes the tight end's got to protect. You know, quarterback's got to get where he's supposed to be in the pocket, make good reads, good decisions, good throws. And then, you know, guys got to make plays on the receiving end. And we just didn't do enough of that. I mean, I know I'm going to look at that film and be sick about all the opportunities that we had to make the types of plays that, you know, forces a defense like this to soften up a little bit in the run game. But they didn't have to because we just didn't make enough plays.
Coach, you made the decision to sit Malik down for a series. Take us through that thought.
Well, he was struggling throwing and catch, throwing the ball with the type of accuracy that we needed to win this game. And, you know, so we went ahead and put Evan in there. And, you know, Evan's a fierce competitor, a guy that, you know, is always ready. He's a great teammate as a backup QB. That's a hard position to be in. And I give him a lot of credit for his readiness. And not that it was an easy decision at all, but I told Malik, you know, this isn't the end of your career, the end of the season. I mean, there's a lot of – even the end of the game, I said, just be ready. You might go back in this game before it's over. So, as it turned out, we put him back in knowing that he's really used to, you know, the one-minute drill, done it the most. And he really – he did a nice job for the most part right there when we put him back in.
Well, you actually – you hit a touchdown pass to Berrios.
Yeah, that was good. I mean, and he did well. He was directed traffic well. And we were about to hit a guy down the middle, it looked like, for a big play. But we got hit right as we were cutting the ball loose. And, you know, again, we got a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and you get beat.
Coach, your defense has two turnovers and no points off of those turnovers, and that's frustrating as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating to everybody. I'm sure it's frustrating to the fans and frustrating to – the entire team. I mean, offense isn't happy, defense isn't happy, no one's happy when you don't take advantage of those kind of moments. And, you know, just you got to do that, and we didn't.
Struggle with field position today. Feagles looks like he had, you know, he shanked one, a 13-yard punt, and it's not something we've seen. He's gone the whole season, this young man, and it kind of hit him all at once today.
Yeah, he's had his ups and downs for sure. But, you know, he's a great talent, and he's a great kid. And we believe in him, and he'll be our punter this week coming up.
Their quarterback, Kenny Pickett, 18 to 29, 193 yards, a touchdown run, a touchdown pass, and very active today.
Yeah, he played well. He didn't throw the ball up for grabs in any way. He respected the ball. He was able to use his wheels to get some first downs and or move around and get somebody open. And they moved him, moved the pocket a little bit here and there as well. And he played a great game. He's a great talent, and I'm sure they're excited about the future with him.
All right, Coach, this is a team that just went 15-0. This is a team that won the Coastal for the first time in the history of the University of Miami, and you're playing for the ACC championship in 8 days. And that's a lot to build on, and that's a lot that has been accomplished. What do you do these next 8 days to refocus and get yourself in a position to play Clemson?
Well, first, tomorrow, you know, we're going to rest, let the kids rest. And we'll come in as a staff and review tape and get this game out of the way as quickly as possible. And then the rest of the day, everybody can just catch their breath a little bit and maybe, you know, watch Clemson tomorrow night as they play live and see what we can figure out there. But then we'll get back to work on Sunday and we'll have a normal week from that point forward.
And cannot lose sight that a week from tomorrow, you are playing for the ACC championship.
Amen. That's okay. Exciting time.
That's all right. Thank you, Coach.
And those are the thoughts from Mark Richt, the University of Miami head coach, following their loss to Pitt today with Don Bailey Jr. of the Hurricanes Radio Network broadcast. The Hurricanes Radio Network will return on Saturday, a week from Saturday, in Charlotte, ACC championship game, from Charlotte, North Carolina, Miami, and Clemson. Pregame with Alex Dano, Casey Jones starts at 4 p.m. on Saturday afternoon, leading up to the big ACC championship game, which I think, and this is something that we can talk about for the course of the show, the Hurricanes paths back in. Now, some might even argue you don't even need help. You just win the ACC championship and you're in, because you can definitely say one of Georgia or Auburn will not make the playoff, right? And they're currently in the playoff top seven, right? So one of them definitely won't go. And then you could potentially add Alabama. So let's say Auburn beats Alabama tomorrow. Or, man, this is tough. So let's say Auburn beats Alabama tomorrow. I would say Alabama might be out of if the Hurricanes win the game next week. You can say that. Miami would be in ahead of them. If Georgia beats Alabama, then we've got an interesting one. Division winner, but not conference winner. Now, conference winner is the tiebreaker. So let's say Miami's five, or it's sort of Alabama and Miami for 4-5. The number one criteria on the committee's set of rules is conference champion. That's number one. Okay? So if you've got two one-loss teams, one won the conference, one didn't, Miami would hopefully get in. But then the committee and the criteria and all the subtle stuff. And a caller mentioned earlier, and I think he's spot on in mentioning Alabama's lack of a resume. Now, you look at Alabama's upcoming schedule, their next two games are their resume. They have number six Auburn. If they win that, they have number seven Georgia. That's how it's shaking out right now. So their next two games are their resume. Now, if they lose one of them, then you have, let's say they win tomorrow but lose to Georgia. You have a win over probably be 10th-ranked Auburn, let's say, by the end of the year. And then Mississippi State, who lost yesterday, had their quarterback with a disgusting injury.
Whoa. Oh, God, that almost made me puke.
Oh, my God.
Especially showing the leg.
Yeah, my jackass brother texted it to me, and I want to fight him. LSU, is their other marquee win? Arkansas just fired their coach. Mercer is Mercer. Tennessee already fired their coach. Ole Miss is on an interim coach. Texas A&M might fire their coach. I'm not even kidding that this is like their entire run through their schedule. Vanderbilt, Colorado State, Fresno State, Florida State before it was broken. Florida State might actually be their most impressive win because it's back then. Now, if you're using any metrics, Florida State at 4-6 does not help their resume in any way. But if you were looking at that game, kind of like you look at the context of the Clemson game when you're talking about their loss to Syracuse, oh, their quarterback was hurt. All right. And if you're Alabama, that's still an impressive win because you're playing a full-strength Florida State team. We'll see how the committee deems that. But Alabama's resume, typically an SEC resume, is good enough to withstand about anything. For the last decade and a half of BCS measurements, the SEC is above all, right? So I just don't think in this year, that division this year has not produced good enough teams to warrant carte blanche for an SEC team to get in as the tiebreaker. Your tiebreaker is you were in that conference.
Yeah, I mean, I'm an SEC homer. I love the SEC. And
right.
Not at all.
No,
not
you can't.
Not at all the best league.
No,
all.
You can't. You can't say just because Alabama played an SEC West schedule that it's good enough for them to get in. So let's say they lose tomorrow. I think they might be them out unless you get real mayhem, right? Unless you have TCU winning the Big 12, let's say Notre Dame loses tomorrow, so you have them out. Like, you get everyone out of the picture, and Alabama's the one team left. Okay, yeah, maybe they're in. But a Miami champion, conference champion, against a one-loss Alabama, against a two-loss Georgia, they're in. For me, they should be. So that is kind of where you're at going forward. So today's loss isn't crippling. So I think that's sort of how you would look at things at the moment. Miami still has a chance, and that's why you can't let today sap your energy. Obviously, it would have been great. You go undefeated into the conference championship game. You're number two in the country. You're playing Clemson on a neutral site. It's the primetime game. Most of those things are still true, except you're number five or you're number six or you're number seven going into the game instead of number two. So the season's not over. You can still have hope. You can still have energy. You can still be fired up. If you want to get in, continue the discussion, 954-567-0560 or 305-567-0560. Here on WQAM, my name is Chris Whittingham, in for Alex Dono until 10. On 560 WQAM, a special guest coming up in about 10 minutes from now. Talk some Hurricanes. For the remainder of this program, although I think probably I'll close things out just as a slight change of pace. with a Dolphins-Patriots note. Haven't even mentioned it today in the opening hour and 50 minutes of the show. Jay Cutler's not playing tomorrow. He did not clear the concussion protocol. Matt Moore will start. And so that is the news coming in ahead of the Dolphins tilt with the New England Patriots on Sunday, which is obviously looking not terribly promising. So that is how things are at the moment for the Dolphins. We'll kind of preview that as we get closer to it. I'm glad so far we haven't got any criticism of Mark Richt. I was ready to do a full rant about Richt criticism because I saw it on my Twitter timeline today and I was very upset by it. I mean, if you're criticizing Mark Richt in any capacity, you're talking nonsense. Talking nonsense. All right, let's go to Mark, who's on QAM. Go ahead, Mark. Hello, Mark.
You only can say, like, why did he wait so long maybe to do it? I would have done it in the third quarter, give him more of a chance. But I'm not. There's nothing to criticize Richt about that.
Mm-hmm.
I just have some pros and cons, man. I just want to get off my chest about the season. Cons, I'm going to start first. The offensive line still needs a lot of work. Rozier needs to put the ball in better positions for his receivers because I think all year his receivers have been helping him out a lot. And I don't think the linebacker play has been as good as it was last year. For whatever reason, not saying defense is not really good. Just for some reason, it seems like the linebackers keep they don't plug holes like they did last year. Just my observations.
I think the linebacker issue for me, if I can briefly interrupt, is a lack of speed sideline to sideline, and they've been put in difficult positions having to cover wideouts and running backs. But that would be my only gripe.
Yeah, I mean, it's for some reason they keep finding themselves like a little opposition. I'll rewind it a little bit and I'll say, okay, why did he go to that hole or why did he take on the block instead of filling, you know, just little things like that. But the positive are, I'll say the opposite side, is that they're still young. I mean, most of them are still, a lot of this team is golden, you know, the upperclassmen. This is Golden's team, most of it. The younger guys are still young, you know, they could get a lot better. The receivers, are really, really good. I mean, they've, again, made up for the Rozier, some of the throws that he hasn't been very good on. And they've made him look, I think, better. The defense with all the turnovers, you can't ask anything more than that. And listen, at the beginning of the season, if you would have told me that at this point they would be 10-1 and they were playing for the ACC championship, who wouldn't be jumping up and down, you know?
No doubt.
So you got to look at it like that, because if you look at it just all today is negative, then you're going to ruin anything you feel for next week. Because next week, listen, it's not over. They still got a chance, man.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's, I think, really it should be almost like the thing that Bart Simpson writes on the chalkboard before each segment, before each call. Before I go on and complain about today's game, I'd like to remind myself that I'm stunned that the Hurricanes are 10-1 after at the end of the regular season. Like, you need to constantly keep that in perspective, right? And keep in perspective that you still have a chance to get into the playoff.
You could be a Gator fan.
Right. There's that. Like, yourself, right, Matt? You are a Gator fan?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Come on, man. He's actually an FAU Owl at heart. Although, which this season is probably a better thing. For your rooting hopes.
Oh, yeah, Conor McGregor's going to play fullback for us next. Watch.
Is that true?
It's what Lane Kiffin wants him to do.
I actually heard on the way in, I was listening to a soccer podcast, which for those of you that know me would not be very surprising. But one of the pundits was saying that his son was playing soccer, and at this sort of academy where they're teaching him, they use a Conor McGregor quote, "There are two things that can happen in a match or in a game. You win or you learn," right? And I think it's good advice for young people trying to learn how to do anything. But I thought that was good advice. And I think today, if you were to use that axiom to analyze this UM performance, it's you learn that when this team exhibits all of its flaws, it can be beaten by about anybody, right? Because Pitt is about anybody. I mean, they're a very middling college football program in this season. They're 5-7. Yes, they've pulled off very good results last year. They beat Clemson on the road. It was a different Pitt team. I'd say that was a much better Pitt team. Although, maybe at present, after all the development that they've done over the course of the year, this Pitt team is probably peaking. And I'm sure they would like next season to start now. Because they'd have to feel really good about where they've concluded their season. I think next year, and if you're looking at coastal opponents, you'll get Pitt at home next year. But if you're looking at coastal opponents that will give you the most trouble, I might put Pitt after Virginia Tech. If you're kind of ranking, sort of looking at next year, what that team is going to look like, because they don't have many seniors. They're going to bring a lot of guys back. It's not like they're losing guys to the pros. They're going to bring a lot of guys back. They figured out their quarterbacking situation today. So I think Pitt is peaking at the right time. But still, when everything that can go wrong does go wrong, Miami can look like they did today, which is soundly beaten by a mediocre Pitt team. All right, a special guest is coming up next.
This podcast was presented by David Lowe and Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.